And as I was at Bishop Lane, I thought a lot about all the time I spent out there. I was able to go to Bishop Lane Retreat Center for many years, so I spent a little bit of time there every year of my high school, and as a college seminarian, I actually worked the grounds for several years. And I remember one of the years I was working the grounds, I had sort of a free day to just sort of make sure that the grounds were well-maintained, no specific task at hand. And I went over to this ornamental apple tree, and it was wildly overgrown. It had fully overtaken the lamppost next to it, so no light escaped from the lamppost. It actually sat in a corner or a driveway during the parking lot and formed a terrible blind spot because it was so wildly overgrown you couldn't see around it at all, and it kind of reached out and scratched every car that drove by it. It was just nuisance in so many ways, and I was pruning it back, trying to give it shape and kind of encourage it to grow up instead of out, so it was less of a bush and more of a tree, and kind of encourage it to kind of grow past so no one was blocked out by its leaves. And the family who stayed on the grounds and kept the whole grounds, the dad came over and he kind of cracked me up because he laughed at me. And I said, "What?" And he said, "You know, this tree one day was causing so much headache. It was overgrown and reaching out and scratching cars and causing car accidents. I got so mad that I took a chainsaw and I just cut it off at the root. I just cut it down. And then I thought the problem was solved. And now it has 7 trunks, and it's bigger and wilder than ever before. It's just completely out of control. And here you are, you're trying to shape it. I tried to get rid of it, and it just wouldn't go away. I was trying to destroy the ground, but it just kept coming back. It was this indefatigable tree." And I said, "Well, you know, maybe a little shaping, we can do a little better." And you know, it's funny, I was there in October, as I said, and I went there, and I looked at that apple tree, and it has now been, gosh, it's been 15 years since I trimmed it and pruned it, and it is now wild and overgrown, and it's completely overtaken the light post next to it, so no light escapes whatsoever. It scratches every car that goes by, and it's now the source of several car accidents because we can't see around it. It's just this wild and overgrown thing. It was this tree that refused to die, no matter what anyone did to it, which fascinates me as equally interesting as I went around the building to decide where there was this beautiful tree that I really loved, and it had beautiful leaves on it, and every time I sat in the cafeteria for breakfast, you could look out on this tree and see it. It was just a beautiful tree, I loved it. And it was dead, which is really hard for me because when I was a seminarian there working, I actually pruned that tree back. It was starting to die, and I had made genuine efforts to try and save it. I had trimmed away all of the dead branches and really pushed in fertilizer. I had made great lengths to try and save this tree, and it was gone. I had to cut it down. It was 5 feet from the building, so when it was dead, they were afraid it was going to fall and destroy the building, so they had to cut it down. They had to pull it away. And it fascinated me, because I tried to save this tree, and it was gone. I tried to kind of get rid of the other tree, and it refused to die. And I think about that with our preparation for Advent as we come into this season, because there's two lines that come out of the scriptures tonight that spoke to me in really an incredible way. The first of which comes from the prophet Isaiah, and it speaks so directly, it's so well done. It says, "A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse." Stump. Tree's already cut down. Chopped up and lost. It's gone. It was this cutaway tree. And we have this little shoot, this little bud that springs forth from it. Small and fragile though it may be, there it is, coming out of this otherwise dead stump. And I think about this, and I think about the gospel. John the Baptist giving a warning to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying very clearly, he says, "Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. They're going to be cut away. They're going to be chopped down." And I think about this, it's this curious moment for me, because as I look at this, it begs the question, as we prepare for Advent, and we're in Advent, and we're in this season of readiness, this season of preparation, to try and make ourselves ready for the coming of Christ. Where are we in our faith life? Are we a well-established tree in our spiritual life? Bearing good fruit, showing the gospel, living these ways in such a way that we are firm in our foundation? Or do we feel cut off from God? Do we feel like, for whatever reason, more like we've been cut off from God? Like that part of us has been severed. That part of us has been cut away so that we don't have that connection. We don't have that well-established, well-rooted foundation we want to have with God. And if that's the case, can we see that shoot, that little bud, that little new life, that new growth in our life? And what are we doing to encourage it? You know, it's the incredible thing about it. We always want to have that well-established life with God. We go on already just automatically have that well-established spiritual life, so we don't even have to worry about it. So it's just something that happens in our life, and we know that it's there, and our relationship with God is rock steady. But you know, the fact of the matter is that our life with God requires growth. It requires pruning at times, but it requires growth. It requires us to continue to nourish and develop and deepen a relationship with Him, which means that sometimes we'll get these new little buds, these new little offshoots. And what are we doing to protect that new growth? What are we doing to nurture and look after that newly developed growth with God? I want you to consider this week, as we come into the second week of Advent, as we kind of come full force into this time of preparation, and consider genuinely that it is, in fact, its own season. I know some people have already started saying Merry Christmas to me, and I kind of smirk and I kind of grimace at the same time, because it's not really Christmas. Christmas is a whole season. I'm going to be wishing people a Merry Christmas throughout the Christmas season, which means that people will probably be throwing things at me by the time come January. I'm still wishing them a Merry Christmas, because it is the Christmas season. But they're done with Christmas because, you know, they started back in November, way on the 1st of November or the end of October. But we need to be growing. We need to be encouraging these little new moments with God. And when we see these new shoots, whether it's in ourselves, in our own spiritual life, or we see them in our family or our friends or our neighbors, that genuinely we actually stop and nurture that growth. You know, it's a fascinating thing. We're in Advent. We're supposed to be making these beautiful preparations for Christmas, and yet somehow there's a whole world out there trying to burn away our faith life and turn this into some kind of secular monstrosity with just generic well-wishing and a conceptual goodwill towards men without ever actually going back to that foundation that calls us to a life of God that begins with the very heart, the very reason that says that it is in fact because God visits His people that we celebrate Christmas at all. That is within this beautiful union with God that we are invited to step into a mystical reality with someone who has loved us so very much that He would step into time and be born in innocence, be born as a child, small, defenseless, weak, like that little shoot, that little bud. So my challenge for this week is to watch for those little growths. Maybe you'll see it in your friends and family. Maybe you'll see it in that stranger who needs your help because they got stuck in the snow and they need your assistance. They've already turned me away, don't worry, because I'm kind of terrified. If you don't think so, try to meet a 6-foot-tall guy dressed all in a black suit on the side of the road in the snow. Trust me, I'm terrified. I approach, if it's a female driver, it never works, trust me. I knock on the window and ask if they need help. I immediately hear the locks click. They pull out their phone and they show it to you, showing that they're about to call the police if you don't go away. By the way, that's not the time to remind them that the police will never respond in time to that situation. That is not what you're supposed to tell them in that moment. But whoever it may be, nurture that growth. Encourage that newfound life with God. And you might be amazed at the strength that you can show, at the deepness and the profound greatness that can grow out of that development of the spiritual life.